Join us Friday, July 28th at 9 p.m. for a special performance by Jane Harms and Ian Davies to celebrate the release of Unit Pitt's limited edition Sound of the Sun Volume 1 cassette tape, available for purchase that evening. Jane Harms' new work, The Weekend of the Year, is featured on the compilation, which she will perform alongside several other works. Accompanying the celebration is the king of bedroom country, Ian Davies, who graciously brings his tunes for us from Montreal. Thank you to the Pale Fire for their support in hosting this event, which will additionally be an opportunity to see their current exhibit, Primes, showing works by Nicole Andre. Tickets are limited. Reserve your spot now. Pale Fire is located at 866 East Broadway, Vancouver.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Makassa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act of Gone. I'm Charlotte Farrell, your own host, and let me say, this morning, let me break the notion that it will be anything mundane. This Friday morning, you're going to learn about something really exciting happening in Vancouver, the Create Festival. We have three guests. I'm going to briefly introduce you, but you'll be hearing more about their careers and what they're bringing to the festival. Sonia.
Hi.
Sonia received her diploma in advertising in 1991, but she wanted to break free and she started to experiment with mixed media painting. Through trial and error, she's developed unique techniques such as large embossed acrylic skins, mixed media paintings on hand rusted steel sheets. She must be strong. I want to know about those steel sheets. And she continuously explores and experiments with new combinations of materials that we'll be hearing about as we go through our conversation this morning. Esther Rosenberg is a photo-based artist who has exhibited locally in Mexico, Cuba, Argentina, and Croatia. Do you need some people from Vancouver to travel with you and carry your bags?
I do. You're welcome, Charlotte.
She has been instrumental in developing new programming and initiatives, including the Create Festival, which is on now and we'll be hearing more about this morning. She has advanced degrees, and one of them, her bachelor's, is from Simon Fraser University. And as you know, we are CJSF, hailing from Simon Fraser University. Amrit Perkins holds master's and bachelor degrees in visual arts from Emily Carr and also a bachelor from SFU. She's got 20 years of experience reaching children, youth, and adults through the arts. And one of the things we're going to be hearing about is how this festival, does it reach children, youth, adults, and how? So, Sonia, would you like to get us started with telling us about this festival?
Well, I think Esther's probably a better one to talk about it, but I know that this is the first year that I'm participating because this is the first year that I've been around for it, and I'm pretty excited. So what I'm doing is I'm teaching a workshop during the festival in my studio based on, well, four kind of micro workshops. My workshops are usually anywhere from 5 hours to a whole weekend. So these workshops are going to be about 1.5 hours. And I'm teaching some basic printmaking skills along with some mixed media. And it's just going to be a fun, beautiful project. It's going to be kind of this quick thing, but people will leave with a beautiful piece of art. And I think the Create Festival was a brilliant idea. It's just a brilliant thing.
So I'll jump in here and say, I don't know what madness possessed me to develop yet another festival. For those of you who might not know, I'm the artistic and executive director of the Eastside Arts Society, and many of you might be familiar with the Culture Crawl, which of course is now in its 27th year. And so it was really because of the attendees coming to the culture crawl who were, experiencing art and artists in their studios, and were always asking and inquiring about, having some kind of art workshops. And so based on a lot of feedback that we were getting from the thousands of people who come to the culture crawl each year, we realized that maybe there's something there. So we kind of put our gray matter together and heads together and thought, well, what should we do about this? And came up with the concept of an art making festival, and hence Create was born. Unfortunately, literally the year of the pandemic, which was 2020, the summer of 2020. And we weren't sure how it was going to work out, but one of the pluses in holding the Create Festival during the pandemic was that, or it is that, primarily it happens outdoors, at least for the first day, and the bulk of the workshop activities happen outside in Strathcona Park. And because of this, we had a sold out event that first year. And based on that success, we have now continued on, and so we're in the third year of offering this very unique festival to Vancouverites and people in the Lower Mainland.
What is the cost of the participating in the festival?
So the cost of each workshop is at $35. You can enter, and that's for a 2-hour workshop. You can enter the art. You can enter the festival site for a general admission of $5, and that gives you access to. We have food trucks there. We have a lot of public art activities. We have art demonstrations, and all of those are free to the public to participate. So there are individuals or artists who are doing a large size coloring mural. There's somebody doing this has become apparently really popular, but I wasn't aware of it. Amazing squeegee art. And we have somebody who's building a giant crow puppet. There's kick wheel demonstrations, glass making, and even a portrait making demonstration. So there's lots of activities on site that are really at a nominal cost that people that are attending can participate in.
Amberly, why do you think creativity is so especially important now?
Why do I think creativity is so important?
Yes. Especially
Yes,
now.
sorry. Yeah. I mean, every person is creative, whether you kind of consider yourself an artist or artistic or not, but human beings are creative. And I think a beautiful thing about creativity is that it helps us to express ourselves. Also, this kind of thing that's happening is that it also builds community when we are making artwork together. We know that creativity also increases our self-esteem, our self-confidence, gives you the opportunity to use your imagination and make something just out of nothing, really. That's the kind of fantastic thing about humans being creative, is that we can imagine something and then make it with our hands. It's quite beautiful. Yeah, creativity is essential. I mean, you're talking to an artist, of course, who like this is definitely what I believe in. But I see the Creates Festival as this amazing opportunity for people to come together, to meet new people, to have a fun time, and to just kind of express themselves together and even be inspired by each other. I think that's a really lovely thing about creativity, and then doing it with other people around you.
I notice you work with each age group. Do you find one age group more excited about art than another?
I don't think there's any age that's more excited about art than the other. I mean, obviously, with little kids, they have more energy. They are definitely kind of like little monkeys. And it's just like, it's wonderful to see them kind of dive into art making. But I have worked with children, like little guys from like 5 to 10 year olds, to teens, to adults. And my heart really is to inspire people through the arts, that they would have they would just feel confident to kind of dive in no matter what their experience with art making is. You see with little kids, they dive in kind of naturally. Sometimes older age groups might need a little bit more coaxing. But yeah, I'd say anyone who's just kind of interested in art, really my heart is, like I said, to kind of make a welcoming environment if I'm doing workshops and encourage them to express themselves and just kind of really get in there and see what they can make.
Sonia, when you mentioned workshops that you're having, if people are taking a workshop, is there a place online where you register? And does it tell you if you have to bring any particular materials for the workshop?
Yeah, you would go to the Create website. What is that, Esther?
It's createartsfestival.ca.
Yeah, so it's there that you can register for the different workshops. And it's all laid out, and it's beautiful, beautiful website, really easy to navigate.
And in respect to materials, all the materials are supplied for the workshops.
Right.
With the Indigo Magic, if people wanted to bring a piece that they wanted to work on, then they can do that, so long as it's not a really large piece, like their duvet cover, for example. Couldn't manage that in a 2-hour session. But if there's a, you know, a top or a T-shirt or a small tablecloth that somebody wanted to bring for that activity, they can. Otherwise, there's materials supplied so that they can still learn how to do the process of indigo dyeing.
I was just going to ask you, for people who may not know, what is part of indigo magic? What do you think there's an increased interest in indigo?
I think that's a difficult question to answer. Well, actually, maybe not. I mean, I actually think that there is an increased interest in the arts. And I think that there's an increased interest in the public wanting to get their hands connected to art making. And I think that that's what we're seeing with this festival, is this real desire to look at and explore getting their hands kind of mucked up in, whether it's in clay or working with mixed media materials. And I think that there's a real desire to kind of put down the phone a little bit and get disconnected from social media and do something that is a little bit more hands-on and also creative and using a different part of the brain. I know that a lot of people have said to me, you know, they recall when they were a kid, they really liked this or they really liked that. And for some reason or another, life catches up to them and they, you know, they go off and get a career and all of that. And they sort of get disconnected from that. And so this is a really good opportunity for them to kind of reconnect with something that they really found some pleasure in creating, but perhaps are not ready to commit themselves to an ongoing workshop. However, I can honestly say that this is kind of like a taster for people who are participating. And then you have individuals such as Sonia and Amberly who are doing workshops on an ongoing basis. And so if they come and they taste and they like this, they can continue on and further their exploration in creating art.
Yeah, and I think that's really great for us as artists, too, to have some new students and stuff like that. And as far as creating, too, like time and again, I've heard from my students, I've been teaching consecutively for about 13 years mixed media to adults. And I've had some students actually with me for 10 years, so they get pretty addicted. And what a lot of them say to me is that, you know, these classes are this little block of time for only them in their lives. And this little block of time just kind of takes them away from their everyday worries and their busy lives, their families for a bit. They often tell me they feel rejuvenated and re-energized. Sometimes they say, you know, I wasn't going to come because I had a fight with my husband, or, you know, I was so tired, but they leave feeling so much better. And, you know, another thing, too, is that I have students that are in transition periods or that have physical or even brain injuries. And, you know, this weekly class just kind of helps them through So it can be really therapeutic. It's, almost like meditation when you're creating. Time, just the flow state, time just kind of flows away. You don't even have a sense of time when you're in that state. It's just so amazing, I think, for body, mind, and spirit.
I think a few years ago, before the pandemic, they published some data that spending 10 minutes a day, I mean, even 10 minutes a day helps with the mood, it helps with relaxation, and it creates some positive waves in your brain.
Yeah, it really does. It really does.
How about those big pieces? I'm interested in knowing about the skins, so working with
Wow.
hand, what is hand-rusted steel?
So I'm a bit of a problem solver. So I'll have an image in mind of what I want to do or kind of an idea. And I'm pretty good at like solving the problem of how to make something. So I wanted to make some big rusty steel sheets from found industrial roof tin tiles that are about, I don't know, 4 by 6 feet, but I couldn't find any anywhere anymore. And so I thought, okay, well, I guess I'll have to make them. And so I went to the metal superstore, I think it's called, and I got big sheets of steel cut up. I had to degrease them and then figure out a formula to rust them and then clean them and seal them. And then I did mixed media paintings on them. And then the acrylic sheets, again, I wanted to do like a big 8 foot kind of translucent hanging. And so I thought, well, how am I going to make this acrylic skin? Because it pours as liquid and then it dries into this clear kind of plastic skin. And so I built a huge, and I wanted to also engrave and be able to write in it somehow. And so I built a huge box. And I poured a bunch of paraffin wax in it. I carved into the wax, and that's how I got my skins.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah, it's fun to problem solve. It's fun to come up with new ways of doing things for me. Yeah, keeps me going.
I think it might be, if people are noting what each of you are saying, that art stimulates different things happening in your brain, the problem solving. If people just have math all by itself, but the fact that you had math, you were able to use that to figure out, the measurements for things that you're doing.
Right. Well,
What
for me, art's all about exploration, really. I mean, it's just exploration and discovery. And oh, yeah. I mean, one time I called out to myself, I said to myself, "Oh my God, Sonia, you're a genius." Just once I said that. And then the next day I came in and I said, "Oh my God, what am I doing? Is this art?" So that's the up and down life of an artist.
Speaking of up and down, we have a piece of music that we're going to play, which is As Language Disappears, because you've talked about art as a language, but it's a language kind of without words. So we're going to listen to A Language Disappears by Zun.
Thank you.
Well, we're back with our conversation about Create Vancouver. I won't say instigated, the person who launched the idea, got the idea brought across to have this Create Festival. Could you tell us again, Esther, about when it opens, how long it's open during the day, and how long it will run?
Okay. I want to say it's only 2 days and it's once a year. And it's this coming weekend, July 22nd and 23rd. July 22nd, we're actually outdoors at Strathcona Park, which is located near Raymer and Pryor Street. It's in the heart of Strathcona on the east side of Vancouver. And the other workshops are happening indoors on July 23rd, and they're in buildings pretty much in and around Strathcona Park. We wanted to hold the event outside for a number of reasons. I think Amberlee kind of pointed out to, you know, having kind of the community engaged in the art making process. And here's a way where people can walk around and see what other people are making and talk to other people and share their experiences and share their creativity. It's interesting, after the first couple of years, we took photographs of the creations that various members of the public made, and they're just so proud of the artwork. And I am really impressed with some of the creations that people have made. It's astounding when I look at what I would think was, you know, a bit challenging, such as portrait drawing, and some of the portraits that people were able to create in 2 hours is really incredible. And that's largely due to the incredible skills that all of the instructors have. And, you know, Sonia and Amberlee are two perfect examples of that. They, you know, teaching is a really huge part of their art practice, and they're incredibly skillful in guiding people and pulling out, you know, what's inside that person's head and making it into something that's really quite special. So it's this Saturday and Sunday, July 22nd to the 23rd. Again, I would go to the createartsfestival.ca website for times and ticket information. All of the workshops run three times in the one day. So one is at 10, the other one is at 1, and then the third one is at 3:30. And most of them are between an hour and a half and 2 hours. It's a depend situation. But more or less, it's about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And then you can walk around the site and participate in the art zone. And there's a lot of different public art activities for you to connect with there as well.
Yeah. Amberlee, when you talked about the different age groups, what's the most surprising thing that a child has ever drawn or presented to you to one of your classes or activities?
I don't know if I can answer that, Charlotte. I've been teaching for 20 years, really, like with kind of rec program teaching to little kids. I even did preschool for a bit, and then I've been a high school art teacher for 12 years. I don't know. I think, I mean, definitely you can see, I've been amazed sometimes, like, by little guys, like 5-year-olds, who can do very intricate work, like, you know, beautiful clay work or even just amazing drawings. I think sometimes you can definitely spot some artists early on, some people who have maybe this natural talent or aptitude for it. But I also have really loved watching kids of different ages grow in their skills and develop something, and maybe go from not being very strong in it to being able to handle like the material or the subject matter better and be really proud of their growth. So yeah, it's really great. I feel like 20 years of teaching, I don't know if I could say what's the most amazing thing, but I really love any age getting in touch with their creativity and having a lot of joy in it and developing their confidence as an artist, just realizing that there's all this potential That they can have an idea and express it. And also, like Sonia, I love the kind of experimental and exploration process of art making. And so I really enjoy encouraging that in all of my students, that they would try new things, that they would imagine new ways of doing things.
People can't see you guys because we're talking through Zoom, but from each of their faces, you should see their faces. Everybody's got a big smile as they're talking about art. So you can really feel how art has blessed your life, that you've done it for 20 years, that, you know, it must have had a really influential and inspiring health giving, you know, aspect to you.
Absolutely. Well, you know, what's interesting is I actually didn't really realize I was an artist until I was 24. I took a community class for fun, a painting class. I really loved writing, and I thought I was going to be an English teacher, because I love working with youth and I love teaching. And writing is this other passion that I have, to express yourself in this other way. But I ended up taking a community painting class and fell in love, and then took one painting class in university while I was studying English, and realized that it was really a whole other language I could speak, was with a paintbrush. And it changed the course of my life. I ended up going to Emily Carr. And that's what I love teaching too, telling my students, is that art is this whole other language that we can speak with. It's a powerful one, and it's beyond words. So all of the arts are really valuable. I just so enjoy encouraging people in the arts. And also, you were talking about kind of the health benefit, the mental health benefit. And my practice specifically actually deals with grief, and grief and ideas of regeneration, and how art making is actually this way to take loss or grief and death and turn it into something new in your life, to make something new out of it, to address these things that are painful and invisible and make them visible. I also value how the arts are this space that we can invite each other in and share vulnerable stories, and that they can help us think about new things and new ways. I often say that my sculptures are a way, that I make objects to feel with. So they're a real invitation that people would connect with their feelings and then connect with each other, in empathy. So the arts are incredibly beneficial for our whole life, and for our own kind of growth and transformation through joy and through painful things, and then through being able to connect with others in those ways as well.
I think it changes, too, the concept of beautiful, because when people are just shown pictures and books and said, this is beautiful, this is beautiful, rather than what you're expressing is just releasing what's within you and using the materials. So when you mentioned found objects, that seems gives a good connection to recycling. I was looking at the alley behind you where I live, and there is so much stuff back there. I steal stuff out of the, recycling my daughter has, and I have to hide it because she says, are you going to do something with that? Mm-hmm. But I think the inspiration you have to take tin and take skins, how are some ways, two or three ways that you could suggest people could use recycled things rather than putting them out in a blue bin for them to take and put on a ship somewhere? What are some other things people might make from recyclables they have?
Well, I mean, you could use lots of recyclables as little collage elements, or even you could use things as a substrate or what you paint on. So I've done paintings on small tin roof tiles that are about 12 by 6 that are